The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Tuesday, May 28th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And I am your host, Ricky Scabrell, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody to the program tonight. It's so good to be back into the studio. We were off over the weekend and yesterday, of course, for Memorial Day. I pray and hope everybody had a blessed and safe weekend. And we've got a lot to cover this week, so I'm so thankful to be back, and it's good to be back with you guys. Before we get started in tonight's program, I want to let everybody know that if this is your first time joining us on whatever platform you may be watching from, if you're able to comment under the platform in which you're watching from or streaming from, we would love to hear from you where you guys are joining us from and if you're new. And, of course, we want to welcome all of our podcast listeners from Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Everyone, I want to let you know that we do have a free app. If this is your first time, you may not know this, but we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can pick yours up today by just simply going to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Download our app. Look for it. You just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our official trademark logo right there on your screen. Download the app. Hit yes to push notifications. And this is how you're going to keep up with every podcast, every breaking news headline. Everything that we put out is going to be right there. And, of course, you can help us push out our material on these platforms by smashing that like button, hitting that subscribe button, hitting that bell notification. This is how you can help us get our messages out there, our content on these platforms, on the algorithm, on YouTube and Rumble and whatever platform you may be watching from. So today I want to talk about, I have noticed that as we're getting ready to go into the month of June, we're about to hit that 6 month mark of the year of 2024. Unbelievable. But we're about to hit that halfway mark. We're right on the threshold of going into the month of June. And I want to talk about five scenarios, five events that we're being warned about that we need to be paying attention to today. So we got a lot to cover on this program, I'm going to break these down. I'm going to show you again these five events that if you've been paying attention, that they are warning us about. So number one, I want to talk about these extreme weather events. We, at the beginning of the year, we talked about, we knew that we were facing extreme weather events because all the warnings have been given from the National Weather Service, the NOAA, all the local meteorologists, just the patterns, the cycles that we're seeing forming. And of course, on a deeper, even deeper level of that, we warn that these things would transpire because of the mistreatment of the nation of Israel by our current administration and its leadership. And that's exactly what we've seen. We have seen unprecedented tornadoes that are breaking and that's setting records. I want to show you an example of what we're talking about today. Just even over the Memorial Day weekend, at least 22, and I don't know, this number could rise even further, but at least 22 have been declared dead and dozens injured as tornadoes leave trail of destruction across the South.
At least 22 people have died across the country after nearly two dozen tornadoes left a trail of destruction. One of the most hard-hit places was Valley View, Texas. Officials say the storms brought winds of an estimated 135 miles per hour. According to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, about 100 people were injured and more than 200 homes and structures were destroyed.
In Texas alone, three family members were found in one home near the small community of Valley View. Again, three dead family members all together in one home near a small community of Valley View. At least two additional children in, I believe that's Coke or Cook County, were also reported missing in the wake of the storm, and crews were continuing a search and rescue efforts amidst the destruction. Quote, it took some time to get back in there because of all the damage with the power lines and trees that were down. It was kind of a monumental task just to get back to where they were. Again, this was from the This was from the local sheriff there, who also said 60 to 80 people were injured at the AP Travel Center between Valley View and Sanger early Sunday morning during the storm.
We actually have video from inside of this gas station. It was shared with Fox 4. It shows the terrifying moments. Strong winds burst through the travel center's windows, sending debris flying. 30 to 40 people were inside seeking shelter. Alexander Rodriguez pulled into the gas station off of I-35 just moments before that tornado touched down. He says he and the others wanted to make sure children inside were safe. He says they shielded them in the bathroom while the others tried to remain as safe as possible as the structure around them crumbled.
We felt the wind take off all the roof and everything. We all covered it and everything. And we kept all the children. We put everything that we could to secure the kids back there in the bathroom. There were people in both bathrooms. And thankfully, the barrier of the wall, it's all concrete. That's what saved us.
Another death was reported in Benton County, Arkansas, according to a communications director there, a county communications director, who said multiple other people were also injured. A state of emergency was declared in Kentucky yesterday in the wake of deadly storms, including one that roared through the community of Charleston, located in the western part of the state. As of the latest report, and I believe this is not even accurate, but this is what I found. I'm going to give this to you. As of May 23rd, there have been 709 confirmed tornadoes this year alone. Now, they're telling us that 2024 is the second most active tornado year on record so far. Listen to that. 2024, this year, has been the most active tornado season or year on record so far. Nearly, again, 800 tornado reports as of May 15th. Well, that number's obviously gone up now because, again, this wasn't the newest numbers have not been included. This, we're up to probably close to 900, almost 900 tornadoes again. Could this, and we're in the month of June, we haven't even finished out the year, could we see this number surpass and be the largest active tornado year on record? Now, in the midst of this, the NOAA has recently just issued the highest, listen to this, ever early forecast for the coming hurricane season.
No surprise here whatsoever. As a matter of fact, we expected this. This is the outlook now from NOAA. So this is the official outlook. Named storms, they're thinking 17 to 25. That's incredibly high. The average is only 14. Hurricanes, 8 to 13. 7 would be average. And major hurricanes, this would be a Category 3 or higher, 4 to 7 of them. So unbelievably active. And there are actually two main reasons that they're thinking this is going to be so active. As a matter of fact, the most active season they've ever put out in May because of the record warm temperatures out there in the Atlantic. As a matter of fact, temperatures haven't cooled off much from last season, so it is still very warm. As a matter of fact, off the charts hot right now. So that's the fuel for these hurricanes and tropical storms. Plus, El Nino is forecast to switch and become La Nina just in time for the peak of the hurricane season. And La Nina is a pattern that sets up where there is very little wind shear in the atmosphere, and wind shear is what tears these storm systems apart. So we're not going to have that in place. So there's really nothing out there to stop them, stop the development, or stop them from moving off to the west.
Again, if you're just joining us on whatever platform, I am talking about five major events that all the alarm bells are sounding that we need to be paying attention to as we enter into the month of June, the halfway mark, the 6-month mark of 2024. And the first disaster that we're talking about, the first event, if you would, is extreme weather. These extreme weather disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes, and we haven't even got into wildfires. We haven't even gotten into, I don't want to include earthquakes in this because that's not a weather event per se. It's that we would call that like a natural disaster. But I'm talking about these extreme weather patterns that are producing these catastrophic tornadoes. And now they're telling us really, really early in advance that the hurricane season that we're about to enter into is going to be one for the records, and it could break records. I know for our family alone, we typically We try to go to Florida or somewhere in the south, to the beach, somewhere in the beach area. This year we were going to go to Florida, but we have decided to pump the brakes on that. We have canceled our trip because of this right here. Because, again, we want to use wisdom. The last thing I want to do is get down there and get stuck in something like this and have to claw our way out of this and fight the traffic to try to evacuate. And no, thank you. I don't want to even be a part of that. So we're going to use some wisdom there. So again, for everyone who's living, listen to me. For you guys that are living in the tornado zones, you know where you are. I don't even have to tell you where that is. If you live there, you already know this. If you live in hurricane prone areas on the coastlands, all of then you need to be paying attention to what we're talking about today. You need to be prepared. You need to be ready. You need to be prayed up. You need to intercede. You need to have a plan in place, not when it's happening, but before it's happening. Okay. So again, I want to recap that. Number one, extreme weather events. Again, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires. I believe we're, as we get in later on into the summer months, don't be surprised you start seeing those wildfires start springing into action on the West Coast and places like that. Again, it's all the patterns are there. The weather patterns are all in place. And also, again, when we peel this layer back and we go on a deeper level, again, I've warned about this. If we keep pushing Israel around, this administration keeps making these derogatory statements to Israel, keep shunning Israel, keep trying to force Israel to do things and pressure them, then again, you're going to see more and more mounting disasters such as this. All right, number two, this one is for you, all my Brits. If I've got anybody that's listening from Britain, from the UK, you need to be paying attention to this. This was extremely interesting. Let's read this headline. Supermarkets warn against panic buying as Britons are told to have 3 days of supplies stashed. Now, who gave this order? Who told them to have 3 days of supplies? Well, let's read here. Quote, supermarkets have warned against panic buying after the government, yes, the government launched a website telling Brits to have 3 days worth of tinned food and water to prepare for an emergency. I want to say that again. The government of Britain has just put out a warning for all of its citizens to have 3 days worth of tinned food and water to, and I quote, prepare for an emergency. What? What is this about? Deputy Prime Minister Oliver Dowden has revealed a new site to advise people how to be ready for, quote, various risks such as flooding, power outages, and another pandemic or biosecurity crisis. Let me say that one more time. Flooding, power outages, another pandemic, interesting, or biosecurity crisis. The Prepare website tells its people to put together an emergency kit, including wind-up torches, at least 3 liters of bottled water, and food that does not need cooking, such as tinned meat or vegetables. But retailers have warned shoppers to build their resources over time rather than taking part in pandemic-style panic buying. Obviously, this is already happening. I mean, did they not expect... Listen, do you really think if the U.S. government came out and issued the same warning? Think about it. If the U.S. government came out and warned U.S. citizens to prepare itself for 3 days of disaster preparedness in the event, watch this, of a cyber attack, power outages, another pandemic, a biohazard event, or unforeseen disasters, how do you think the American populace would respond? You're right on. Come on, I know my people in the comment section. I know what they're saying. You and I both know. If we got a prelude of it, we got a snapshot of this during the wah-wah outbreak, during the last pandemic. Look how people acted. Look at the look at the hoarding that went on for toilet paper, for hand sanitizer, for wipes, even wipes and baby wipes and all these things. You couldn't find toilet paper for a period of time anywhere in the shelves. Bottled water was being stripped from the shelves. People were panicking. So is it any wonder or is it a surprise that Britons are now, the grocery chains, the retailers are telling Britons to please restrain yourself from panic buying and just buy this over time. Supermarket shelves were stripped bare as the country was landed in lockdown with snaking queues overloading trolleys pictured at shops. Again, this was during the want outbreak. A director of food and sustainability at the British Retail Consortium told Mail Online that, quote, retailers did an excellent job ensuring the country had access to food and other necessities throughout the pandemic, and we are confident that we will rise to future challenges. Quote, while it's sensible to have some additional food at home, most households will find they already have sufficient non-perishables sitting in their cupboard. Ministers hope that individual households being prepared will take the pressure off of emergency services when dealing with a crisis. The Prepare website encourages people to find out more about the risk in their area and sign up for alerts and warnings. It also tells people to work out the best escape route. I want to pull this up so you can see this. This website that's telling these people this, the Brits, they're telling the Brits to do this, encourages people to find out more about the risk in their area. Listen to this. It is also telling people to work out the best escape route from their home in case there is a fire or flood. It adds that people should write down important phone numbers and store them somewhere easy to find in a power cut. The website advises to talk to their children about what to do in an emergency, including how to call the emergency services. So guys, this is happening. So number two, our British brothers and sisters, if you're listening, I would assume you're aware of this. I hope you're aware of this. But your government is telling you to have 3 days of supplies, food, non-perishable food and water on hand, and a way to have electricity, candles, torches, flashlights, whatever, and to have an escape route plan, to have a contingency plans, write down important phone numbers, talk to this about your children. This is very intriguing to me and interesting. And again, when they give the list of reasons why, it goes from everything from a pandemic, a biohazard event, to a flood or a disaster. So what is coming down the pike? I don't know. Do they know something we don't? Again, number two, that's number two. So Brits are being warned to prepare with 3 days of non-perishable food, water, and supplies. Okay. Number three, we have some economic warnings. Alarms are still going off. One JP Morgan forecaster just issued a grim warning about the state of the stock market this year. And he said that, quote, it could be cataclysmic. He warned that the stock market may become volatile and urged investors not to become bullish despite the market's good performance. I believe this analyst was Marko Kolonovic. Again, warning that this year could be cataclysmic. He has warned that the stock market could become volatile despite reaching record highs this year. The company's chief market strategist issued a note on Monday's forecasting that the S&P 500 could fall 20% to 4,200 by the end of the year.
In charge of America's biggest bank has an economic warning.
Yeah, he says certain factors may continue to fuel high inflation and bring interest rates as high as 8%. Here's ABC's Lionel Moise.
The leader of the nation's largest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, is sounding the alarm that interest rates could soar beyond 8% in the coming years, despite recent figures showing inflation has been cooling. In his annual letter to shareholders, Jamie Dimon said there has been too much emphasis on the short term and not enough focus on long-term trends, writing, "Huge fiscal spending, the trillions needed each year for the green economy, the remilitarization of the world, and the restructuring of global trade, all are inflationary."
You've got the Russian war in Ukraine and the impact that's having on energy markets, oil markets, natural gas markets. You've got the conflict in the Middle East, and that's disrupting supply chains and also is a threat to energy prices. And then just the rising tensions between the U.S. and China.
While experts agree on the economic impact of conflict, not everyone is on board with Diamond's latest statements.
You got to be humble when you're forecasting anything, particularly the economy.
In 2022, Dimon predicted a hurricane would hit the U.S. economy, later admitting he was wrong. But his new warning reflects the pain of many households struggling to make ends meet.
"I love Honeycrisp, but $8, $9 for a bag of apples? Nah, that's not good."
Now, his reasoning for this is that interest rates are likely to stay in restrictive territory for longer, combined with lower income consumers showing signs of weaknesses and high levels of geopolitical uncertainty. That's interesting that he threw that out there, that there would be high levels of geopolitical uncertainty. Hello, AKA the elections are coming. Now, it's interesting because it's funny because you look at the stock market and everybody's cheering and it's so good. And we're seeing, everybody's just, you know, it's a time of jubilation. Everything is great. Everything is dandy. It's happy days are here. But yet the average everyday American, I would say the average everyday citizen of whatever nation you're in, that you're in, not just America, but wherever you live, are you noticing, come on, be truthful here, are you noticing things getting better per se? Has inflation eased? Has pay and job performance, raises, promotions, what they offer, education, all this, has it changed or has it gotten worse? Well, here's an indicator that I think is going to answer this. Nearly 80% of Americans now consider fast food a luxury due to high prices.
Remember the dollar menu?
Well, you may be hard-pressed to find any fast food item that actually costs a dollar anymore.
$17 for 3 filet of fishes at McDonald's? Are you kidding me?
I don't have the money to buy fast food anymore.
Would you just miss the days when fast food was actually cheap?
When looking at fast food menus nationally, here are the average prices for fries from McDonald's, a Happy Meal, and a burger combo from Burger King. But I paid even more than that. Here are the prices at fast food locations by the NBC offices in Midtown Manhattan.
Broadly speaking, sales are performing much stronger than foot traffic, and that's due in part to higher prices.
The Consumer Price Index measures inflation, or the average increase in prices over time. Fast food falls into the limited service meals category. Think anything that's typically ordered at a counter and taken to go. From 2019 to 2023, prices in this category are up nearly 28%. That's more than full-service meals. Think sit-down restaurants with servers, which increased nearly 24%. And it's also more than overall inflation, which increased 19%. So why are fast food prices so high, and where will they go from here?
Can I please get a Titan turkey? Can I get a foot long? Yeah, just that.
Between 2022 and 2023, the cost of food, beverage, and packaging rose around 11% for both McDonald's and Chipotle. Still, as of late, labor is the main culprit.
Food is about a third of the cost of a menu item. So even as those costs moderate, in many cases, and particularly given the laws that we're seeing in California and some of the other, you know, minimum wage laws and just increases that are happening, is that wage pressure remains elevated.
The fast food labor market became increasingly competitive for employers during the pandemic as companies struggled to fill their restaurants. In 2022, the number of employees in the limited service restaurant category were still below 2019 levels. During that same time, the number of limited service establishments grew by over 4%.
as things normalized after COVID, you still see a higher amount of job openings and less people coming in to fill those jobs.
Are you guys noticing this where you live? I'm sure you are. I went to Chick-fil-A the other day, bought three chicken sandwiches and a large tea, and it was like almost $19. Insane. Absolutely insane. 63% of those surveyed agree fast food should be cheaper than eating at home, but 75% say that is not the case. Nearly half of Americans, 46%, say a meal at a fast food restaurant costs about the same as one at their local sit-down restaurants. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And 22% said fast food is actually more expensive. Now, again, I'm sure that depends on what they're getting and how much. And guys, if you've not noticed, look at all these chain restaurants that are closing their doors, that are going out of business, that are filing bankruptcy. You just had Red Lobster gone, IHOP's in big trouble, Cracker Barrel's in big trouble, Applebee's done, Logan's done, Pizza Hut is dwindling out. You've got, Charlie's is suffering. The list goes on and on and on. And again, I'm naming restaurants in my vicinity of where I live in my region. You guys out on the West Coast, I don't know all your restaurants out there. I do know a little bit on the East Coast because I'm out in Virginia frequently, but I'm talking about mainly in the South, what I've noticed, or up in the midsection of the United States. What restaurants, maybe I didn't mention a restaurant. You can let me know in the chat below. Let us know what you've noticed. Are they shutting down? And still, what's still mind boggling is the amount of people that are still not wanting to work. People are having a hard time finding people to work. People that are dependable, even if they get people to work, they don't show up. They call in. It's unbelievable. I've said this, that the last pandemic, what this government did by shutting down everything and the measures they took, it completely ruined our country. And we still have not pulled out, and there's been no reversal on this at all. And everybody notices this, everybody sees this, and many, many, many people have experienced this firsthand. Fast food patrons are generally lower income earners, many with young children, who rely on a quick, affordable meal before soccer practice or a band concert. When prices at these restaurants spike from $35 to $40 for a meal to $65 to $70 in just a few years, those families either have to sacrifice a night out or extend themselves just a little further to afford it. So, number one, extreme weather events. This is right in our face. It's going to continue to go on. I believe even more as we head into the second half of this year. Number two, we see again, Britons are being warned to keep 3 days of non-perishable food and water on hand in the event of a coming disaster. Number three, we see the economic disaster that we've never fully recovered from. And this just continuing on. And if, again, watch for more supply chain shortages, watch for more famine coming, food shortages. All this, I believe, is going to continue on into the latter part of the year. All right, number four is wars, rumors of wars, and conflicts. This is only going to continue to increase. Here is an article. Let's talk about this for a second. This is an article from Reuters. I'm going to pull this up here. Israeli tanks advance in Rafah center despite global outcry. Remember, Israel, I want to recap this. Israel was warned by the international community, by the United Nations, by multiple nations. They were warned, including the Biden administration, do not invade Rafah. Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel is completely ignoring this. And they're moving and advancing forward with their operations in Rafah. According to Reuters, Israeli tanks advanced to the center of Rafah for the first time today witnesses, and that's today of this recording, on this Tuesday, again, May 28th, witnesses said that 3 weeks into a ground offensive in a southern Gaza city that has stirred global condemnation for its continued civilian toll, tanks and armored vehicles mounted with machine guns were spotted again in the heart of Rafah. According to Reuters, the Israeli military said its forces continue to operate in the Rafah area without commenting on reported advances into the city center. Global leaders voiced horror at the fire in a designated humanitarian zone where families uprooted by fighting somewhere or elsewhere in Gaza had sought shelter, and urged the implementation of a world court order for a halt to Israel's assault. Now, this comes as Spain, Ireland, and Norway all officially recognized a Palestinian state. Guys, all of this is prophetic. Every bit of it. The fact that, I'm going to pull this away so you can, I'm going to talk to you for a second. The fact, remember, Zechariah 12, we've talked about this multiple times. Zechariah 12, Joel chapter 3, tell us that Israel will eventually go alone. They will be abandoned by the nations. In fact, the nations will come against Israel in the last days. And we're seeing this. And in Joel 3, it talks about the nations will attempt to divide Israel. And we're seeing this. Israel, Netanyahu says, if we have to go alone, we'll go alone. The nations are coming against Israel. They're condemning Israel, including America. And now we're seeing this push and all these other nations pushing for a Palestinian state, which results in the division of Jerusalem and Israel. So, guys, this is a huge event that we need to be paying attention to. And it's not just in the Middle East. It's not just Israel and the continual war there. But let me show you some other stuff. Even Germany, look at this headline. Quote, Germany states that it will arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he sets foot in the country following this international criminal court ruling to call to charge him with war crimes, or charge him, excuse me. Let me start over. Germany says it will arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he sets foot in the country following a ICC call to charge him with war crimes. Again, now, is this not terrifying that Germany, of all places, think about it, they have a history here, and they're telling Benjamin Netanyahu, you step foot in our country, we're going to arrest you. Wow. Again, prophecy, guys. End time Bible prophecy. Zechariah 12, Joel 3, all tells us we should not be surprised by this. We should not be completely caught off guard by this. A spokesperson for the German chancellor confirmed last Wednesday the country would abide by the law and arrest the under-fire Israeli leader should he visit the EU nation. Now, this comes after a British prosecutor, Karim Khan, announced last Monday that he is seeking arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu. Meanwhile, China is practicing for an apocalyptic war against Taiwan, and the Western world is still not taking this threat seriously. This is a report from Michael Snyder. China has just launched an enormous military exercise codenamed Joint Sword 2024A, which it's a sequence of military exercises that are designed to simulate war, what a war against Taiwan would even look like. Chinese fighter jets are conducting mock airstrikes against high-value military targets, and Chinese warships are practicing for a future economic blockade. Listen to that. Most Americans don't seem to realize this, but once China goes to war with Taiwan, we will instantly be in a state of war with China. The flow of consumer products from China will completely stop. We will no longer have access to the advanced computer chips from Taiwan that we are so dependent upon, and the economy will inevitably crash. All of our lives will be turned completely upside down the moment that war with China begins, and the day may be a lot closer than most people even think. This past Thursday, the Chinese encircled Taiwan with naval vessels and military aircraft.
The U.S. is urging Beijing to act with restraint amid deep concerns over China's military drills in the Taiwan Strait. The drills surrounding the entirety of Taiwan, while leaders from China, South Korea, and Japan agree to a trilateral meeting tomorrow in Seoul for the first time since 2019. Here with more is former State Department spokesperson Morgan Ortegas. Morgan, good morning. I know that you have a lot of experience with this, but for those sitting at home watching this or hearing this, you know, they say, well, South Korea and Japan, they're our allies. Why are they meeting with China? Explain to us what this meeting means.
Hey, good morning, Joey. So let's pull back sort of the bigger picture. Yes, we have this meeting going on, but why is China conducting these exercises around Taiwan? They've been doing this for quite some time. It's not new, but it's been incredibly aggressive since Nancy Pelosi, when she was Speaker of the House, visited Taiwan early in the Biden administration. I was just in Taiwan last month, Joey, and the Taiwanese officials told me that that was really the turning point for China and Taiwan in terms of their exercises and their military drills being much more invasive. Why does all of that matter, Joey? Well, as you know, you're a Marine. There's several different ways in which the Chinese could invade Taiwan. And one of the big concerns is that one of these big military drills around Taiwan could go from an exercise right into an invasion. So that's one of the main concerns. Plus, I think it's sort of, Joey, I think it's the drip, drip, drip of these exercises. They keep doing more and more and more and trying to make this appear normal until one day it's suddenly not normal. So then you start to look, Joey, and you say, okay, why are our allies, Japan and South Korea, meeting with China? Listen, we meet with China as well. You have to meet with your neighbors. I'm not necessarily concerned that our neighbors are meeting and talking. I'm sure that there's information that we will glean from our allies from having those meetings. What's the most important thing is for the United States is to focus on our relationships and what we call Indo-PACOM. So that means our relationships with things like the Quad that President Trump revived after it went sort of dormant in the Obama years. So that means Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, Vietnam, Australia. I mean, go through the list of countries in Southeast Asia. I think the most important thing that we could be doing diplomatically, Joey, is doubling and tripling down on those relationships with those countries, India as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of aspects of this that I think I find very interesting. So from my understanding, South Korea and Japan are meeting with China with a concern over North Korea, wanting China not to support North Korea's rogue actions seeking nuclear weapons. Then you look at what's happening in Taiwan, and it's basically Taiwan is this major manufacturing and computer chips and other things that's a huge export. And another thing on the list with China for Japan and South Korea is declining age. That's a problem they have. So as part of this action from China, being bold in some ways, is it to set themselves up for a better future? What's their reasoning behind needing to take Taiwan?
The Taiwan question is an excellent one. I mean, listen, we have to remember that Taiwan is a democracy. They just actually had an inauguration last week. As you know, that's part of the reasons why we see these drills. Xi Jinping, the leader of China, the leader of the Chinese Communist Party, wants to take Taiwan. He believes that it belongs. It's a part of China. There's been an ongoing civil there was, of course, an ongoing civil war for decades. Yeah. And that is where Chiang Kai-shek and the forces that lost in China, they went to Taiwan. So Xi Jinping sort of sees it as existential to take Taiwan. Of course, we as Americans in the West believe in freedom, believe in the autonomy and the democracy and the right for people to choose their future, and don't think that China or any other country should just be able to take by Taiwan. We do have a position called strategic ambiguity. But Biden, over the past 3 or 4 years, has said things like, well, no, we're going to defend Taiwan. Yeah. That's not actually settled U.S. policy. His administration walks that back. But it's really important also to remember from a religious freedom perspective, Joey, there are thousands of churches and thousands of Christians in Taiwan. That is not something that China wants, right? They persecute their own Christians.
This comes as it vowed the blood of independence forces on the self-ruled island would flow. The 2 days of drills were a part of an escalating campaign of intimidation by China that has seen it carry out a series of large-scale military exercises around Taiwan in recent years. Taiwan's near president was inaugurated earlier this week, and the Chinese government is not a fan of him at all. And it is definitely not a coincidence that these military exercises are taking place shortly after this new president in Taiwan was elected to office. These are the largest military exercises that we have witnessed in the region thus far. And according to CNN, dozens of Chinese fighter jets carried live ammunition. Now, while we got this going on, look at this. China is actively arming Putin's war in Ukraine. According to a new report, China is flogging arms to Russia and a major boost to Putin's war in Ukraine. This was a report that was given by Britain's defense minister. According to the report, spies tracked lethal aid from China to Russia and into Ukraine, according to, again, a defense minister's claim from Britain. Let's read a little of this. He said intel reports were a significant development and warned it, quote, we should be concerned. Shap said it blows open China's claim to be a handbrake on Putin's Ukraine slaughter. He told the London Defense Conference that, quote, U.S. and British defense intelligence can reveal that lethal aid is now flowing from China to Russia and into Ukraine. He went on to tell the London Defense Conference that, quote, U.S. and British defense intelligence can reveal that lethal aid is now flowing from China to Russia and into Ukraine. Quote, we should be concerned about that because in the earlier days of this war, China would like to present itself as a, quote, moderating influence. Spies have long suspected China was arming Putin's forces, but Western officials said the scale of the aid was smaller than Putin needed. Shaps warned an axis of authoritarian states led by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. Remember these four. Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea were increasingly working together. Now look at this headline. Quote, now this is from NBC News. Are Russia and North Korea planning an October surprise that aids Trump? What? What is this about? Now you could take this, do what you want with it. Again, because it is coming from NBC News, but I'm going to read this regardless. The Biden administration is increasingly concerned that the intensifying military alliance between Russia's President Vladimir Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un could vastly expand North Korea's nuclear capabilities and increase tensions in the Asia-Pacific region. This is according to six senior U.S. officials who told NBC News. U.S. officials are also, quote, bracing for North Korea to potentially take its most provocative military actions in a decade close to the U.S. presidential election. Well, what about that? How interesting is that? Let me read that again. U.S. officials are bracing for North Korea to potentially take its most provocative military actions in a decade when close to the U.S. presidential election, possibly at Putin's urging. The timing, they said, could be designed to, quote, create turmoil in yet another part of the world as Americans decide whether to send President Biden or Trump back to the White House. Of course, something that would disrupt the elections, right? Quote, we have no doubt that North Korea will be provocative this year. It's just a matter of how escalatory it is, according to U.S. intelligence officials. So, guys, when they say this, it's going to happen. Just like when they say there's going to come another pandemic, it's not a matter of if, it's when. They're telling us they're not keeping this behind closed doors anymore. They're letting us know this right in the open. U.S. intelligence officials accused Russia of interfering in a 2016 election to help elect Trump, which, again, was a bunch of baloney. Remember, we heard about this. It went on and on and on for 4 years, and nothing ever surfaced from it. The Biden administration had tense relations with Russia, which collapsed after it invaded Ukraine in 2022. After the publication of this story, Stephen Chung, a Trump campaign spokesman, said, quote, the only October surprise will be the look of shock among reporters when Trump wins re-election. Wow. So again, these guys are telling us something's coming down the pike. So again, what are we talking about? Wars, rumors of wars, and conflicts. Number five is this ongoing bird flu. Friday, we just did an update on this, and I told you in that podcast that this is not going away anytime soon. Now, ready? I know you're going to be shocked by this headline, so just brace yourself, buckle your seatbelt, get ready, because this report is just going to be so shocking and stunning because you never saw it coming. Ready? Here we go. Quote, and I quote, this is from Reuters, not Alex Jones, not InfoWars, not some blog. This is Reuters. U.S. and European nations consider vaccinating workers exposed to bird flu. Here it is. Who? I know, you're shocked, right? I mean, aren't you stunned that they would make such a statement? Let's read a little bit of this. The United States and Europe are taking steps to acquire or manufacture, here it is, H5N1 bird flu vaccines. They could be used to protect at-risk poultry and dairy workers, veterinarians, and lab technicians, government officials said. Moves influenza experts say could, quote, curb the threat of a pandemic. There's literally been two people that we know of, one in Texas and one in what? Was it Minnesota, I believe? No, Michigan. Texas and Michigan, that has been, quote unquote, diagnosed with bird flu, and they're so freaked out about this that, hey, we've got to get that H5N1 bird flu vaccine out. We've got to get it ready. Remember, now what did we talk about Friday? Remember the report I said? It's not a matter of if, but when we pull the trigger. Talking about we've got to get that vaccine out there. Well, it looks like, friends, that the trigger may be getting pulled. U.S. officials last week said they were moving bulk vaccine from CSL Seqirus that closely matches the current virus into finished shots that could provide 4.8 million doses of the vaccine. Wow. European health officials told Reuters they were in talks to acquire CSL's pandemic vaccine. Canadian health officials said they have met with GSK, who is the maker of Canada's seasonal flu shots, to discuss acquiring and manufacturing a pandemic bird flu vaccine once its seasonal flu production capacity is freed up. Other countries, including the UK, are discussing how to proceed on pandemic vaccine or pre-pandemic vaccines, according to scientists, of course. The actions followed the explosive spread of a new strain of bird flu that emerged in late 2020 and has caused unprecedented numbers of deaths among wild birds and domestic poultry and has begun infecting many mammal species. In March, U.S. officials reported the first outbreak of the virus in dairy cattle, which has infected dozens of herds across 9 states and 2 dairy workers. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has estimated that 20% of the U.S. milk supply shows signs of the virus, indicating a wider spread is likely. Are you hearing this? Human exposures to the virus in poultry and dairy operations could increase the risk. There's a reason why I'm doing this, guys, that the virus will mutate and gain the ability to spread easily in people. Again, when they say this, friends, you better be looking and you better be watching for it. Quote, all of our efforts need to be focused on preventing those events from happening. And how are they going to do that? Read on. According to Matthew Miller, the co-director of the Canadian Pandemic Preparedness Hub at McMaster University, quote, once we have widespread infections of humans, we're in big trouble. So what are they going to do? According to Dr. Angela Rasmussen, a virologist at the University of Saskatchewan, said she has been in discussions with U.S. and Canadian officials about using vaccines to protect workers following the virus spread into new mammal species. Let's read on. Look at this. Discussions about pre-pandemic vaccine use are going on at government levels and among scientists in a number of places, including the UK. If deployed strategically to dairy farmers, healthcare workers, do I have any healthcare workers in the chat? Do I have any healthcare workers listening by podcast? This is not just for dairy farmers. Look, let's go back up here. Remember, this is a bulk effort. 4.8 million doses. Who's going to get this? Dairy farm workers? No. It is, again, used to protect at-risk poultry and dairy workers, veterinarians, lab technicians, government officials, and, again, health officials. Quote, it would put a pin in the virus. The UK government did not comment, but said it is, quote, monitoring the situation in the United States. Now, isn't that interesting? The UK government did not comment on this, but said it's monitoring the situation in the U.S., yet they did come out and tell their people to stockpile 3 days of non-perishable foods and water. And one of the reasons was, quote, another pandemic or biosecurity crisis. I'm just saying, the U.S. maintains a stockpile of pre-pandemic vaccine candidates and bulk vaccine against an array of influenza strains and conducts clinical trials to support an emergency use authorization. And interesting, an emergency use authorization or FDA license in the event of pandemic. Seasonal flu vaccine makers, including Sanofi, could also be used to shift to producing pandemic flu vaccines. The U.S., look at this, here's a shock, is in talks with mRNA vaccine makers Pfizer and Moderna about potential pandemic vaccines. Here we go, guys. Cue the music, right? Here we go. Dr. Richard Webby, who's at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital virologist, who studies flu in animals and birds for the World Health Organization, said the situation in dairy cattle merits vaccine use. Here we again. Are you hearing that? That's the sound of the bells ringing. Ding, 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 everything. I'm telling you, who didn't see this coming? Quote, if we look at the exposure levels that some of these farmers are getting, it is high. The decision on how and when to use the vaccine will hinge on evidence of increased transmission, severity of disease, cases in people with no link to a dairy farm, and mutations in the virus. This is according to the U.S. CDC. I'm going to say that one more time. The decision on how and when to use this vaccine that they're already conspiring, got it all lined up. Remember, it's not a matter of but when to pull the trigger. It's going to be hinged on increased transmission, severity of disease, cases in individuals with no link to dairy and farm, and mutations of the virus. So these are the things to be looking for. Is anyone going to be surprised if we see this happening? Because this is what's coming. This is what's coming down the pike. I believe this. I don't believe this is going away anytime soon. They're preparing for this. They've got it locked and loaded. All the contingency plans are ready for this, and they're letting us know. They're warning us and telling us all this stuff. A Dutch flu virologist, Ron Foucher of Rotterdam, who has conducted experiments mapping the chances necessary for bird flu to spark a pandemic, said Europe's plan is to pursue the CSL vaccine for people occupationally exposed to the virus. Listen to this, quote, his lab could well be eligible if the vaccine becomes available. And he said, again, this is a virologist, adding, quote, I would certainly take it. Of course you would. Of course you would. Now, all this comes on the heels of the World Health Organization. Its hopes that there would be a vote on the global pandemic treaty. Remember, we talked about that at the World Health Assembly at the end of this month would happen. But now, according to a new report, this has completely collapsed. Negotiations that were supposed to result in a final draft of the treaty have completely broken down. And that is great news because the treaty would have transferred a tremendous amount of authority to the World Health Organization. So could the prayers of the people, along with some leaders in positions of authority in government places, did they have enough sense to vote this thing down? So this is great news. So what am I talking about today? Again, I'm talking about five events that we need to be in prayer about, that we need to be prepared for, and that we need to be aware of. Because this is all coming down the pike as we enter in, and we're about to enter into the halftime. This is your halftime report. We're about to enter into the halftime of 2024, the six-month mark. And if you thought the first 6 months was crazy and hectic, I believe the next 6 months, all of these five events, I believe are only going to increase as we go into the latter part of the year. Now, I want to leave you with, again, now, remember, Scripture tells us, guys, that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that in the latter times, in the last days, perilous times would come. Again, that word perilous meaning trying, meaning difficulty. Difficult times would come, and we're there. We're in the birth pangs of the Messiah. We're in the difficult times. We're in those days of Noah and Lot, and these things are only going to increase, and they're only going to intensify in severity. So, again, I want to leave you with all the bad news. I want to leave you with the good news, and that's always Luke 21:28. Jesus told us, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. So guys, again, we love you. We appreciate you. Again, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that bell notification so that you can be notified of all of our podcasts, all of our headlines, whenever they are available. And of course, the easiest way to keep up with our ministry, download our free app today, available on Apple and Android. You can get it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and good to go. And of course, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, informs you week after week, and you would love to partner with our ministry to give back, to help us continue to do what we're doing, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically right there on your screen through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order right there and make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia 30655. And guys, as always, I want to thank all of our partners, our supporters, our prayer warriors of our ministry. You know who you are. We receive your letters. We receive your emails. We receive your messages and your generous offerings, your gifts. And some of you, this is your home church. Listen, we're just getting started this week. We've got a great lineup for you. We're going to be back tomorrow. We were off yesterday, so we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, Lord willing. We've got a lot to cover. We've got a yet another rare celestial event that's going to be transpiring in just a few days. We're going to talk about that this week. We've got some equipping messages lined up. So we've got a lot of stuff, a lot of content to get out to you guys. So we've got three more podcasts until we close out this week of podcasting. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.